Is this on?
Testing, 1, 2, testing.
There's something wrong. Let me just take that.
Okay.
Thanks. Good morning, everybody.
I can hear it.
I'd like to have our brothers come up here who went to the airport. Would you guys come up here real quick? Where are you at? Adam, come on up here. Got a little something for you. So Vicky and I were driving on the road last night. Jeff texted me and said they're gonna be Red Bull in it. So I thought you guys need a little more Red Bull. So thanks, you guys. Appreciate it so much, man. Thanks, Adam. God bless you guys. Wow. So nice to have clean clothes on this morning. We put them on here in the office this morning. So hopefully we look a little bit better than we did when we walked in here. It's really good to be with you guys. And am I? Okay. Thank you. All right. Let me stick this back up here where it's supposed to go. There we go. Thank you. That was probably my mistake. It's so wonderful to be with you, and I'd like to just talk to you about a movement of God by the people of God. You, me and Vicky, all the fellow brothers and sister Christians you have around the world. I'd like you to imagine with me, we're looking back at this little blue marble. What would you see if you could look at the Church of the Nazarene around the world? What you would see is a matrix of relationships, a network of friendships, people who have adopted the mission of Jesus and the message that the Church of the Nazarene has of loving God with your whole heart, soul, mind, strength. You would see about 2.6 million people like you worshiping in 193 languages in 164 countries. That's more places than you can buy a Big Mac or get a Starbucks coffee. That's where you're at. All those people connected to a church like yours, about 31,000 churches in all those 164 countries and another group of countries we can't talk about because they're called creative access areas. All those churches are connected to a district. You're on the Illinois district. And all those districts in World Missionaries are connected to 35 fields. That's where Vicky and I come in. We oversee the orientation and training of those field directors, or we call them field strategy coordinators. So, for instance, there's one field director for all of India, 1.3 billion people. There's one field director for 26 countries in Northern Europe. It depends on the number of people and churches and districts we have. And they oversee the district training, the district leadership in World Missionaries. So we orient them and train them. And all those 35 fields and all those districts are connected to 6 regions. So you are connected to the USA-Canada region. Now, this is really important because when you go to look at, we're not moving forward. Here we go. And all those regions are connected to one general assembly that you elect a general board from. This district sends representatives. Some of you may have gone. And it's the most beautiful gathering of people I know of anywhere in the world. It's more diverse than any baseball game or football game or whatever sports club you go to. All those nations and languages gathered together. We've been there when there were close to 50,000 people in one gathering from all over the world. It's a lot like Revelations, where God tells us what's going to happen in that first worship service, people gathered from all the tribes and languages around the world. So you're a part of that beautiful mosaic of people. And Vicky and I have had a privilege of working with your brothers and sisters. The reason I explain that to you is because I want you to know you are one of 4 denominations in the world that has the structure I just shared with you. There are over 30,000 denominations and only 4 with an international structure where people are connected through that organization I just shared with you. And not only that, Christianity Today magazine recently said you give more to missions per capita than any other denomination, except for Christian Missionary Alliance. That's who you are. It's why Bill Bright, Campus Crusade for Christ in the 1970s, when he looked around the world for a denomination that could deliver the Jesus film to people who had never heard the name Jesus in what we call the 1040 window or the hidden people groups, he looked for a church, and who he selected was you. Because of that structure, because of the way we're connected, because of the way we network with our brothers and sisters around the world every day of the week. Thousands of communications going on. So you now support over 860 Jesus Film teams. You bought these motorbikes. Vicki and I have seen them in packages that have been shipped across to Bangladesh or someplace else where they go out and show the Jesus Film to people who have never heard the name of Jesus. I was in India. This tribe had never heard of Jesus. You showed the Jesus Film to them. Suddenly 300 people wanted to follow Jesus. So now we had to disciple them. So you pay a stipend to these young men and that motorbike and the Jesus Film projector and all the material, and you take them way out there to this village. It's way, way out. It took us all day to get there in a car to get to this village. And you made sure they heard about Christ. Every time you give to World Evangelism Fund or World Missions Fund or what do we call it here, Jeff, Faith Promise, your missions giving, that's what you do. It also is the reason you and I are connected to what's happening in Ukraine today in a very significant way. This is your district superintendent and his wife. Vicki and I know them. Volva and Sylvia. They just took three elderly women from Kyiv all the way to the border where Jay and Tiana Sundberg, there in the lower picture, met them and took those three elderly women who needed help changing diapers. I mean, that's what you call ministry. Your church in Kyiv, Vicki and I have been there. We know the people. We know the pastors. We know the leaders in Ukraine and in Russia. Ukrainian, 16 churches right in the Moscow area. And the pastors and the Ukrainian pastors and the Russian pastors, they don't understand each other right now because the Russian pastors are totally void of what's going on in Ukraine. They don't get the media that you get on your news channel. They don't see the pictures of the bombs and all that stuff. But you have people. You pay both these men's salaries and their spouses. There are field directors. One of them oversees all the former Soviet Union countries, Trino, and his wife Anna at the top of the picture. And then Jay and Tiana Sundberg, they oversee Poland and all of that area. You have district superintendents and pastors in every one of those surrounding countries. Slovakia, Hungary, Armenia, going on up around the other side, Poland. You have people there who are going every day to the border and picking people up and taking them back to ministry centers that you helped us get built for ministry back in the day when we lived there. That's what you and I do. You're impacting the world every time you give to global missions. You've been making Christ-like disciples over 120 years through this structure. And that's why I mention it to you today. It sounds kind of boring to me. It's exciting. You just sent these people out this month, actually last month, from Global Ministry Center in Kansas City. These are your new global missionaries. And last year, you sent out this group. There are two kinds of missionaries in the Church of Nazarene. I've listed them up there so you can see them. One is a sponsored deployment. That is, you could be a sponsored deployed missionary if you wanted to go serve for a week or 6 months or a year. If you're a mechanic, if you're a heavy machine operator, if you're a builder, if you're a teacher, a medical doctor, we can place you. Vicki and I have done that with hundreds of people over the years. There's the second kind of missionary, and that's Vicki and I, the global missionary. We're lifers. We do this for life. That's what we do. That's who we are. That's God's calling on our life. So that's what we do. And you pay our salary. You've taken good care of us. You just sent these folks out. Every year you're doing that. Now, I put this picture up here with this funny-looking hat because you're looking at a guy who was, when I was 15, I was flunking out of high school. I had D's and F's, and I had a C or two. And I stepped into the kingdom of God, and I felt this, not even sure how to describe it, but a direction towards cross-cultural ministry at 15. And so I went to my college career counselor the next morning, Monday morning. I said, "Mr. Bueller, over the weekend I stepped into the kingdom of God, and my life has changed. I'm a new person, and I want to follow Jesus." And they tell me with this passion, this calling I'm feeling, I have to go to university. And Mr. Bueller, he leaned back in his desk chair and he slapped his desk. "John, you are not university material." And he laughed. I don't blame him. I don't blame him. I would have said the same thing. He said, you can't go to university. You're flunking out of high school. Now, I was a sophomore. I said, Mr. Bueller, help me. So they put me in bonehead this and bonehead that. Have you heard of bonehead classes? Has anybody been with me in that group? Okay, support group? Any supporters out there? Help me out a little bit. But anyway, that's what they did. And by the way, a guy named Red, our math teacher, got me from an F to an A in algebra. They got me up to where I could actually get to college. And then 6 months after meeting Mr. Bueller, I met the woman on the front row, Vicky. She's a straight A student. Brilliant. God knows how to do this, doesn't he? So he put us together, and she coached me. We went to Point Loma Nazarene University and graduated from there. And then we went to Nazarene Seminary, and then I went to Fuller Seminary. And all the way through, Vicky helped me as a student learn, because if you don't get that in your bones when you're young, it's kind of hard to get in there. I was like one of the first kids who went to college in my entire family clan. So it was kind of weird, this whole thing. But my twin brother and I both got converted about the same time. We went to the college, and Vicky helped me get through. Now, the reason I show this picture is because God always gets the last laugh. The last 10 years we've lived in Australia, and we've worked in Asia Pacific. That's from China down to Mongolia in the north, all the way down to New Zealand, all the way from the Solomon Islands and all the islands out in the Pacific over to India on the other side. And get this, my title, and I'm not boasting here, I'm just telling you what God did. My title was Asia Pacific Region Education Coordinator. What that means is I oversaw our 15 schools and universities and colleges. That's what God does. It's not because I'm a genius. It's just because God helped me. And I know a genius. I've been around geniuses. I'm not one of those. But God helped me. And listen, don't ever give up on somebody who's flunking out of school. Don't ever doubt God's call in somebody's life. He will lead you, your grandchild, your son, you as a young person. We were just talking with people before the service. You know, you're going to school, and God will lead you in whatever your calling is. So you sent us. We went out in 1987 the first time after pastoring a church plant, and then you sent us over here to this side of the world, and we lived in Brisbane, Australia. These are some of your Nazarene brothers and sisters there. And they're some of them are really cute, and you like to just hug them, you know. They're just, the Aussies, these are wonderful people. And this is Vicky's favorite bird that used to come, and she'd feed every day at our house. And then, by the way, that alabaster offering you just took, you've paid for every house Vicky and I have ever lived in our whole missionary career. And this is not one of them, by the way. This is a picture I snapped of what my home might look like in heaven. Actually, thanks for the house. No, this is not it either. It's just an outback house. But that alabaster offering, you have paid for literally thousands of homes and schools and district offices and ministry centers, child development centers around the world through that little thing you just did this morning. You think it's so little. Oh, no, it's not. When you put that together with 31,000 other churches and 2.6 million people, you make an impact. That's what you've been doing for over 100 years. So Jeff mentioned a couple years ago, they called us when we were getting ready to retire, and they said, John and Vicky, would you serve a few more years? We're developing a training for our field strategy coordinators. We need somebody to head that up. And so they asked us to come back to Kansas City, and we said no. We want to be with our grandkids, so will you let us work out of our home? As we bought a home, and now we're close to our grand. We've got 6 grandsons and a granddaughter on the way. We're excited about her in April. And we have been working out of our home. Now, we were kind of commuting and flying still before COVID. But now COVID has shut all that down, and we've flown very little in the last couple years. But these are your 35 field directors, their spouses, and some global mission team in Kansas City that Vicky and I work with every day of the week on Zoom. God has given us this wonderful tool where we see each other, and we talk, and we pray with each other, and we encourage each other, and we talk about mission and ministry in places we can't get to right now. So next Tuesday morning, I've forgotten, we're going to be in Taylorville, I think it is, Tuesday morning at 7 a.m., I'll be online with all these guys, 50 hookups around the world, translated in several languages. And where we used to get together every couple years for training and updating, and you always have new field directors coming on, just like you have pastors and district superintendents. So now we're meeting every month for prayer through Zoom. And we all prioritize this. And we have about 95% attendance every month for the last 2 years since Zoom hit us in March 2020. We've been meeting. So that's how we've been sent. That's how you are sent. Because of you during COVID 2020, Cambodia, a broken country, communistic country, a Buddhist country, 98% of the people Buddhist. You have 61 churches. Last year, 2020, they gave 25% of their income to global missions. Why would a church do that? Why would 61 churches do that? Because they know what missionaries and what you have done by sending people with the literature and the equipment and everything they need to get the gospel to their people. You served over 700 people directly through Nazarene Compassionate Ministries. You brought in 291 new Christians there in their last report. And you've been buying bicycles there. You didn't know this, but you've been buying bikes for $30. We sell them back for $15 so we don't create codependencies and jealousies and tension between the kid who didn't get a bike and the one who did. But if you come to the table with $15, we will pay the other, we'll buy the bike and give it to you so they can get to school. Because otherwise they literally cannot get educated. They're too remote out in those villages to get to a school. The schools aren't accessible to them otherwise. So when I was there not too long ago, a couple years ago, 12 students had ridden a bus all day long to get to this meeting to ask us, would you send missionaries to our area? And we said, well, we don't have any missionaries. They wanted the curriculum, 24 courses of study that all pastors in the Church of Nazarene take and missionaries to become an ordained elder. And so we said, we will take the people from this group. They're in the learning. They will teach you. So you teach to reteach, to reteach, to reteach. You're making disciples. You're not going everywhere, but you're creating the environment, the structure where God can empower the church, a movement of God by the people of God. And so that's what you do every time you write out a missions check. This woman in the orange suit, she stood up. She shared her testimony. It was a long meeting. But she shared how when she was this tall, hiding in the bushes, the Khmer Rouge, you've heard of the killing fields, millions of people in Vietnam and Cambodia killed. She watched her entire village slaughtered by MK-47s. She was the only survivor. And now here she is in the course of studying to become a leader in that church. That's what you do. That's what you make possible. Clean water you make possible around the world. This is outside one of our churches in India that I snapped. The people were lined up there getting water. I mean, I'm a missionary. I come to your village and I say, great news, Jesus is here. The kingdom of God is here. Rejoice. But half the children in this village are dying before they're five because of impure water. What would good news look like? So what do you do? Well, every one of those blue pipes you see hanging on the walls and on the footpath, they're all over that village. You went there and you installed those blue pipes. One of them takes pure water to five families and their kids stop dying. That's the kingdom of God. You know, the word salvation means whole, complete. God isn't just concerned about your spirit getting to heaven. He's concerned about you having a rejoicing life in Him now. I love that song you guys led us in. That was beautiful. Thank you. God is so good. His goodness is good. He doesn't love us without liking us. He's a good God. He's with us in this thing. So I snapped this little girl's picture. You know, that's a heavy bottle of water, and she carried it all the way down her dusty road. That's what you do. You create sports areas because God likes to see kids have fun. God likes to have fun, if I'm reading the Bible right. And you've taught hygiene. You've gotten governments to bring garbage cans in and take trucks where people couldn't advocate for themselves. You have missionaries who have advocated to care for the health of people. We care. You run children's centers all over the world. Vicki and I have seen them. They're child development centers, we call them, child ministry centers. And you support these orphans, kids without parents. Some of them living under bridges without any adult supervision at all. This is in Ukraine. This area is not being bombed right now. And around Vinnytsia, we've got churches there all around Vinnytsia. You have 10 rehab centers, and you have three homes of James. A young man, Sean, in the black shirt there on the right, he saw children, 5 years of age, 12 years of age, living underneath conduits in Ukraine. No parents, no adult supervision, no governmental help, no attempt to try and help these kids by the villagers. They're just stuck there for the rest of their life. Can you imagine a 12-year-old trying to take care of a 5-year-old living in a water drain? So Sean said, I'm going to do something about this. So he's built three of these homes now. And he's engaged other Nazarene parents. If you ever want to be inspired when the war is over, go to and see what Sean has done there. You run this home. This is in the Philippines. We have several of these now. Human trafficking, children who have been sexually exploited. And you care enough to hire a full-time global coordinator for human to deal with the issue of human trafficking. That's what you do when you write out your missions check. You actually accomplish something. You know, Jesus said, don't just talk about loving people. It's not just warm and fuzzy. Get something done. And that's what we are structured and committed to do because Jesus is in here, changing us, giving us God's compassion for the world. And so that's what we do. You graduated out of a class of 75, 32 with degrees that deal with the issue of human trafficking. In Cebu, Philippines, the human trafficking ground zero of the world. That's what you do. You change realities. In this village, you sponsored, over the last 15, 20 years, 159 young people. I called the field director, Bill Kwan, our Korean field director there over Southeast Asia, this just about 2 weeks ago. I said, Bill, I want to make sure I got this number right. Because my notes say 159 young people have been sponsored educationally by Nazarenes in the West for the last 15 years. He said, that's right. He said, that's the statistic. Bill actually is, you see him on the left there. He's the field director of Southeast Asia. Kafoa in the blue and white shirt, he's over Melanesia and Micronesia. Larry in the middle there, he and his wife have lived in Indonesia for about 25 years. And these are your field directors and your missionaries. And here we are talking to a man. I asked this young man in a blue shirt, what are you going to do with the sponsorship that has been invested in your life? He said, I'm going to be the medical doctor of this community. He's coming back to his community. I mean, that's Main Street. That's the same place I shot the picture of that little girl picking up that, filling that big bucket of water. And that's what you're doing. You're creating a godlike community. Now, we aren't doing that in every village in the world. My goodness, in Africa, there are tens of thousands of villages, tens of thousands. You're in many of them, but that's what we do. You train other people to go. You send them out through our 52 universities and colleges around the world. This is one of our newest boards in Taipei, Taiwan. When I was educational director there, I had the privilege of helping them establish the school and get their board organized and worked with them for some time. This is another board that's behind what we call Creative Access Area. I know we're streaming this live this morning, so I can't tell you where it's at, but these are your brothers and sisters who are delivering those 24 courses of study. These are three boards in Papua New Guinea who ask us to help us develop a university. So you are in Papua New Guinea right now developing the next Nazarene University, the 53rd one. I had the privilege of working with that board many, many times in PNG. Maggie Bailey there in the red jacket, she's from California. She's a Nazarene layperson who worked in the Pentagon. She's an academic. She's one of the top educator academic consultants in the United States. She works with the big universities. Vicki and I were connected through the Holy Spirit to her and her husband Dave several years back. And we said, hey, do you ever, when we found out she was this educational consultant and how effective she was, we said, do you do anything pro bono? And she said, for Christian organizations, I do. I said, well, God loves you, and we've got a wonderful plan for your life. So she got on a plane, and she paid her own way, her expenses. She came, and she went to seven countries and worked with all those universities that you operate to help them develop in their educational structures, and particularly with online education, because that's where all that is moving. You put together all this Hungarian material. All the denominations in Hungary, even the Roman Catholics, buy your Nazarene material and use it for Sunday school, for their curriculum for children. Think of that, in a whole nation. Yeah, if you have your phone, take it out right now. Let me see if I got enough Wi-Fi. But go to your search engine, Chrome or whatever you're using, if I can get mine to open up here, and type in, somebody do this with me, would you? Type W-H-D-L. W-H-D-L. What comes up? You tell me. Wesleyan Holiness Digital Library. You click on that, and what happens? It opens up to tens of thousands of books, free. Anybody in the world now who can get online can get a free, those 24 courses of study that used to cost thousands of dollars, we've organized it now where you can just get the book. We've worked with authors to write books that make the delivery of the material free to people who can't pay for books. And so that's what you do. You're changing realities by this structure that we share together. That's, Hungary's just one of those. We still have to deliver books. In an island in the South Pacific, the government said you've got to have 5,000 books if you're going to give an accredited degree to your pastors so they can go on and get a master's or a PhD. So we called one of our university librarians. He said, I'll ship, we needed 5,000 books. He shipped 4,500. We already had several hundred. So this is what he did. They paid for it right here from Middle America. And then three librarians on their own dollar paid for their airfare and went for a month, and they took all those books and they cataloged them and put them on computer so those students could have access, and then so the government would give them accredited education. So that's what you do. You run these faculties. You support these faculties. A lot of them can't pay for their fully for their own faculty, so we assist them. We don't create dependencies. We try our best not to create jealousies by what we do, but we strategically look at the missions. This is a classroom in Myanmar. If you want to be praying, so Jeff, I appreciate your prayer team. It's out of your prayer team that we got our luggage this morning, so thank you. Those prayer team changed reality. If you want to pray for something to change, pray for Myanmar. It's not easy there. I think I threw in a couple slides of a recent story. But you're making all these things happen, the educational processes. In this particular picture, we were in right along the Nepalese border and Bangladesh border in India. The man on the far left in the white shirt, he was a witch doctor. His son, 14 years old, had been sick for years, and he had done everything he could to, you know, get his son healed. Didn't work. Some Christians laid their hands on him, and his son was healed within 2 weeks, totally clean. So what? Guess what he did? He said, well, that's what you call a paradigm shift, right? What I was working, it didn't work. So these guys, that. So now he's enrolled in your course of study. And Vicky and I had the privilege of teaching there, the first people to teach in their accredited team. Can you imagine? My dad was a farmer. When I felt a call to go to the university and pastor, he said, John, you sure you got this right? Because we didn't think about that kind of process back then. That was a long time ago. But imagine this farmer. Imagine his son coming back from one of your schools and saying, Dad, I made it. I graduated. I got my degree. I'm going to pastor. I'm going to raise chickens, or they've taught me how to screed shirts or do IT or something, and that's what I'm going to do. Imagine how proud you made that dad. You did that. You made him proud. Without you, wouldn't it happen? You're caring for people all over the world. Every one of those field directors has a bank account that you have made possible for us to take this and tents and blankets and food. And in this place, I'm passing out toothbrushes in a tsunami area. I'm a doctor, but my kids say I'm not the kind that can help you really, so don't get your hopes up. But they put me on a medical team, and I took the person's blood pressures for a couple weeks there, where this tsunami had wiped out 236,000 people in all those 11 countries of the Pacific or the Indian Ocean Rim, all the way across to Africa from Banda Aceh, Indonesia. Well, you went there. The young woman in the brown shirt, she lost her entire family. She was in town when the earthquake hit. She went back out to her village, and that's what she saw. That's her village. Look at the trees. That wave came in several waves and just took everything. One uncle survived. He said, don't come to my house. You're cursed. So what did you do? You put her on a plane, and you sent her to Jakarta. and she was adopted. Now, she's a Muslim. Most of the people in that area, in fact, it's illegal to be a Christian in that area of the world. But she's now in it with a Christian family. That's what you did. You cared. You bought all the shoes that were on those empty shelves. Before I snapped that picture, those shelves were full of shoes. You delivered those to kids who had no parents and not even a shirt to put on, and we took shoes to them. You help. We help. We try to help. 14,000 refugees. You provide tents, food. We didn't do it for all of them. We coordinated with a whole bunch of other people. But you sent people like me and Vicky to the Macedonian border. Does that sound familiar from Paul's writings? The Macedonian people, the Christians there. And you just tried to love. You just tried to pray with Muslim people, Christian people, fleeing from Syria, from all the bombing that was going on. You were actively involved every day of the week with refugees. People who are fleeing dangerous places. Kids who are being forced into gangs, trying to get someplace where they won't have to carry a gun. And you're there helping. This young man, I know him. His name's Cy. He helped me with my IT when I was in his area. And in March last year, they arrested him. This is a picture one of his friends snapped. They're putting him in the back of the truck just for preaching. And these are the churches and the houses they're burning. This came to me in October, a picture from one of our leaders there, who was a Buddhist monk and now is a Nazarene pastor ordained by Philly Chombo in a meeting about 2 years ago. And we pray for these folks. Vicky and I were in India, this one here several years ago, but on the side of our Jesus film building, the district center where we had the motorcycles and the films and all that stuff, they told us not to be open unless you negotiate with us. They didn't want us there. The week after we left, they built your Jesus film building down. And what did you do? Well, the Southwest Educational Zone of the Church of Nazarene, remember the structure, you're USA Canada, you have zones or zones within that region. That zone adopted this as a project. They sent 20 teams. You bought block building machines. And those teams went, and they started working with the indigenous people. And today, you've built this beautiful ministry center that looks like that. That's it. And you'll see the bars sticking up because they're going to put a second floor on there. But that's what you do. Inside, there's a child ministry development center, a district office, a church, a pastor's training center, a clinic, all inside that beautiful building. We're back in Ukraine right now in this picture where you have 10 rehab centers for men and women who are addicted. A lot of the men addicted in Ukraine. You loan money to people who are trying to get a business started. They pay it back. And these are places where Vicky and I have been, and we've seen the effect of your helping people help themselves. Because they just need a good start. Like I needed Red to help me learn how to learn algebra. That's what we did. This is one of your ponds. They fill that with fish. They grow up to be nice and big. And I love this kind of fishing. They just drain the pond and scoop the fish out of the bottom and take it to the market and sell it and start all over again. That's how they fund their rehab center. See, they're not codependent. We are interdependent. We help them get started with their business. And now they do the work. And the Church of the Nazarene is there. I'm going to finish with this. One of the most effective illustrations of what you've been doing is seen in Papua New Guinea. And as I mentioned, I've been there many times. This is your hospital. I flew in and snapped this picture. Every one of those white top colored buildings, you always there, medical doctors, nurses, administration people, mechanics, because there's several vehicles in there, as you can imagine. I enjoyed a nice lunch one day with them. Just down the street, 20 minutes from there, is this Bible college and teachers training college that you own and operate. And that picture I showed you earlier of the Papua New Guinean people around the table, those three boards, they're from those three schools talking with us about how to develop the Nazarene University in Papua New Guinea. I've had the privilege of being there with them many times. It's one of my favorite places to go and work with people. This is one of your nurses' classes. I snapped it from the back. About half are men, half are women in that program. Here's a couple of your surgeons. Bill McCoy and Marcia just retired. And on the left, you see Ben and his wife, his child and his wife are there. Ben is following his dad, who was here for 40 years as a surgeon in Papua New Guinea. Now, think of that. I said to Ben, what's your vision for your life? He said, I want to make sure every surgeon in our hospital is an indigenous person instead of having to bring Americans or Westerners in. And so that's his vision, and he's just started about 3 years ago. His dad had a vision of making sure all indigenous people were nurses, the nurses were all from the indigenous people. And so today, if you're a nurse, you can't even get a visa to go there because you've done such a great job of training people to be nurses that they don't need any. The young woman there in a white shirt, she was a volunteer-sponsored missionary, as I mentioned earlier. One of the kinds of missionaries that went to volunteer, she is a surgeon in Papua New Guinea. She was there and just had a call on her life to become a full-time Nazarene missionary and surgeon. So now she's there. She was discipled by one of the Nazarene churches on the West Coast. And now here she is as a surgeon, one of your surgeons. Here's one of your up-and-coming surgeons, one of your up-and-coming nurses. And you built this $3 million dam in conjunction with the Australian government, Papua New Guinean government, Church of the Nazarene. You sent teams. You hired equipment. You built this dam so that the generators in the surgery rooms and the hospital units, the wards, several wards there, you served 60,000 people there last year. 60,000 people in that hospital. The kids think that this dam is just a swimming hole, but it actually operates the generators to keep the electricity on 24/7, because in Papua New Guinea, you can't get electricity from the government that operates all day long. And then one of you and a team of people went and built this dam. Vicki and I showed this picture in another country, and a woman came up to us afterwards and said, my husband spent a month there with a backhoe digging that canal. The water goes down, the kids get on their, all the missionary kids, those 50 missionary families, all those children that you have there, they get in that thing for fun after school because it's hot and humid. And they just jump in there with all their clothes on. You know, mom doesn't have to do the laundry. Every one of your units has this sign. I still just get, I don't have much hair, but whatever that is happening back there, I feel it right now. I'm so pleased at how God has used us together. Your wards are full. Your nurses all take 12 units of evangelism church planning. Back up 60 years, none of this was there. A single woman from Scotland got on a boat. 3 months later, she ends up out here in the jungles. A man from Australia starts preaching the gospel, ringing a bell every morning for 7 years, no converts. And then a priest gets converted, and boom, now you have tens of thousands of Nazarene brothers and sisters in PNG. And that's what you've been doing. These nurses with their 12 units of evangelism church planting, I mean, this is one of your classrooms. You ought to be proud of that. They plant churches like this. I asked Kafoa to send me a picture of the last church, and he just sent me this one. That's a brand new Church of the Nazarene in a village that didn't have one. You made it happen. I spoke at their commencement not too long ago, and wonderful people. The Australian government paid for 18 of those students their full education in nursing in partnership with us. This young woman, Lydia, was magna cum laude. She saw me in the airport, and I heard my name, Dr. John. And she came running over to me, and I said, Lydia, because she spoke alongside of me, sat on the platform. I said, where are you going? She said, I'm going back home. I said, what are you going to do? She said, well, I'm going to get on another plane from here. This was our second plane. Now I'm going to get on a bus, and then I'll walk. And she didn't tell me how far she'd walk, but they can walk two days. The mountains go like this. There are 832 languages in Papua New Guinea. Several of them have never heard of Jesus. It can be a very dangerous place, but you have missionaries there. She's going. I said, what are you going to do? She's going, I'm going to start a clinic. My area has no clinic. She's taking a nursing degree. And who knows, maybe there'll be a church. So what do you have here? Well, you have the Holy Spirit directing you, directing all of us together in one voice of praise to God. Would you read this with me? And when we come to that word Samaria, would you stick in the word Springfield right behind that? I know you come from probably beyond Springfield, but let's stick it in there because that's who we are. Let's read it together. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, Springfield, and to the ends of the earth. Who actually said that? It wasn't the Church of the Nazarene. He sent you. So what's your mission? You have one. You have a mission. You may not be a missionary, but you are missional. We are missional, one of our three core values in the Church of the Nazarene. And he's sent you. Theo's 95 years of age. Last time I saw her, I was in Perth, Australia. She said, Pastor John, they've taken away my license. I said, Theo, at 95, that's probably a good idea. And I was complaining to God. God, you've taken my ministry away. My driver's license helped me deliver things to people, Aboriginals and people that she cares for. Then I realized that every one of my taxi drivers spoke Arabic, a male who had immigrated to my country. And so now, she's only this tall, doesn't weigh too much. She's not very intimidating to anybody. She gets in the back seat of that cab and she says, I'm Theo, what's your name? I'm a follower of Jesus. I know you know about Jesus because Muhammad wrote about him in your holy book. And I serve the same Jesus you've read about, who Muhammad said is greater than he was. Do you know Jesus? And then she says, what's your name? Can I pray for you? Are you married? Do you have children? Can I pray for you? And every taxi cab she gets in, and she's a very active woman. She's a leader in her church. This young guy's on the other end. He's 11 years old. He lives up in Idaho. Jeremy, he heard some stories like this, and he said, Mom, I want to do something. They went to a place called Costco. Do you have a Costco in this area? I don't know. Well, it's a big store where you buy hot dogs and unhealthy drinks. And so they bought a bunch of Coke and hot dogs, and they went along a sports field, and profited $248, and he sent it to Sao Paulo. I see some young people here this morning. God has called you to follow him. God has called you to love him. God loves you. God cares about you more than anybody else cares about you. Doesn't matter about what your background is. Doesn't matter how you feel about yourself. God loves you. He likes you. God likes you. And we sang a little earlier in the service, God is good. And I just pray for you, these young people here, that God will help. We've worked with missionaries, been called at 5 years of age. So thank you for letting us come. I ask your pastor, you're going to take a love offering right now, and it's going to go to our mission and ministry. These days, it pays for our transportation. It pays for our hospital stuff. A lot of our medical is paid for out of this offering, some of our retirement. And all our books are audited every year. You can count on it. We don't spend a dollar on water out of mission funds without it being audited. So God bless you. You know how to use these QRs. Just snap your phone at it, and it'll tell you where to go. Or you can get in the offering this morning. Jeff, thank you. Thank your pastor again for letting me come and letting Vicki come and share this morning. God bless you.
There, I got it. Technology, sorry. So thank you very much, John and Vicki, for sharing your life and also God's call of what he's called you to do. And we appreciate that and appreciate everything you've done. And thank you for all the work. And now I feel like I have ownership. How about the rest of you? I have ownership in this project and all these things that we've talked about, we have done as Nazarenes throughout the world. So thank you very much for helping us see that. We're going to take an offering for that, as he's mentioned. And so if the ushers would come forward, I'll pray a little bit, and then we'll go do the offering. And Lord, we thank you for this time of knowing that your word is being spread throughout the world, that the gospel is being preached, that people's lives are being touched, that your Holy Spirit is calling others to continue to spread the gospel. Those that are even right in the fields, those that are in their own countries, and they feel the burden for starting a clinic or starting whatever school or whatever it may be, and they're working with that. They're finding businesses and doing stuff to be able to make your message be heard in whatever it is. Thank you for the churches that have just a canopy that they're sitting under to be able to get started. And we just pray for all those. Pray for those that are under duress right now, not only in Ukraine and Russia, but many places throughout the world that they are being persecuted and being held under a great things that we just can't even imagine what it would be like not to be free to be able to worship and to be a Christian. So thank you for that. We just pray that this offering be blessed and given in a way out of our hearts and out of our ability to be able to do it. In Jesus' name, amen.